This is Omar Musni with UN News. A recent report reveals poor quality healthcare in all countries, which, according to a global health official, could negate the promise of universal healthcare if left unaddressed. Speaking about a joint study by the World Health Organization, the WHO, in partnership with the World Bank and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, known as OECD, Edward Kelly, WHO's Director of Service Delivery and Safety, said the data suggests that less than half the time you're getting care that is not going to help you in low- and middle-income countries, where the challenge is greatest. However, he points out that research done in developed countries yields similar patterns, making it a worldwide problem. Daniel Johnson spoke to Dr. Kelly about how these findings could affect the global push for universal health care.
Universal health coverage is really the promise that patients and their families are able to get care without going into financial hardship. But the recent report that WHO and the World Bank and the OECD have put out has shown that it's nothing, this promise of universal health coverage, without high quality at the center of it. So this means effective care, but it also means care that's safe, and it means care that's centered on people's needs.
You found that, perhaps unsurprisingly, that poorer nations suffer most, with 10% of hospital patients expecting to get an infection during their hospital stay, compared with 7% in higher-income countries. That in itself isn't necessarily that surprising, but what did the other findings in lower-income countries reveal? And I'm thinking here of Liberia's deficiencies in systemic health cover during the 2014 Ebola outbreak.
Well, I think the Ebola outbreak in particular, which is a great point, highlighted the need for strong, resilient, quality primary care, and the fact that that broke down meant that during Ebola, more patients died of preventable deaths from malaria, measles, and otherwise than died from Ebola during the entire outbreak. And it was because they lost trust in a safe, quality services that they would get, that they could go and actually get care without getting an Ebola infection. But also the study points out that even outside of those kind of crisis situations, on a regular basis, from some of the data from low- and middle-income African countries we looked at, healthcare workers were able to make accurate diagnoses on only about one-third to, at best, three-quarters of the time, and that clinical guidelines, you know, which are the sort of the standard of what you should be getting in terms of care, were only followed less than 45% of the time. So less than half the time you're getting care that is not going to help you in some of these low- and middle-income countries. And I just would add quickly that work done in the U.S. over a decade ago showed that the rate was about the same in the U.S. So this is a universal problem. It's not something that is bad in developing countries because they don't have resources. This is a universal question on how we improve quality.
Just turning quickly then, you mentioned some African nations, but also in the Caribbean, maybe you could highlight the research found in eight countries where it really affected maternal and child health too.
I think the question on ensuring quality of care for mothers, newborns, and children, while obviously theoretically it's no more important than any other patient, it really is at the heart of WHO's mission on primary care and on maternal and child health. But the research that we were highlighting in the report, in particularly countries that have high child mortality in the Caribbean and Africa, showed that in some cases, just 28% of antenatal care or 26% of family planning services and 21% only of sick child care in these countries would be qualified as effective, meaning that they were delivered according to the standards that you need to have in order to get patients better. And that is far, far too low if we're going to have an impact and actually be able to move the needle on universal health coverage.
Now, you've spoken about low- and middle-income countries, but also this problem of quality health care also affects far richer countries. Expenditure in hospitals, a lot of it goes on on mistakes that happen, on following up on mistakes that happen during surgery, for example. So what more detail do you have on that? And what are the possibilities for improving the quality of healthcare all round, not just in richer countries? What is it that the World Health Organization, OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and the World Bank would like to see moving forward?
I think coming back to this point that it's a universal, while we may have priorities for addressing in certain countries that really need more attention from the international community, this is really a global problem. Personally, I worked for years with and at the OECD. I was the director for the U.S. National Healthcare Reports before coming to WHO. This issue of improving and offering effective care, quality care to patients, is a global one that all countries are struggling with as they're trying to expand access with limited budgets. But the question in high-income countries, while it may be slightly different types of diseases they're dealing with, still you have 1 in 10 hospitalized patients in the developed world that can expect to have some adverse event when they're in hospital. You have massive amounts of money that is wasted in particularly hospital expenditure. You know, we found that around 15% of hospital expenditure in high-income countries is due to mistakes. Some past work by WHO has looked at avoidable hospitalizations where billions of dollars are spent on hospitalizations that if we did a better job in primary care and in public health work, we would keep people out of the hospital. And these are questions that are fundamental to overall health reform. And, you know, really, if you're now today is the 70th anniversary of the National Health Service, to the long-term sustainability of these big promises between populations and their governments. And if we're going to sustain those promises, addressing quality of care in terms of both the money we waste and the burden it has, it needs to be there. So WHO, World Bank, OECD, we've highlighted in the report a few promising areas, such as in safety and quality checklists that have shown big improvements in surgical safety and other places, reducing mortality by sometimes 25, 30, 35% with simple checklist applications, but then also other innovations around using digital health and mobile solutions for telemedicine and increasing access to specialist consultations for remote areas that wouldn't have access to high-quality connections to specialists like that. But governments definitely can play a major role here, and that's another message, both in two areas. One, looking at how they can improve the data around quality of care. There is right now no universal set of measures that countries are using to track quality of care, and it's a big gap. And secondly, governments have a major stewardship role in ensuring quality of care, looking at how they can set up systems for checking and improving quality of care, whether it be through accreditation programs or it be through sponsoring quality improvement activities, such as the NHS has done in safety and quality globally. So I think there's pieces there for all parts of the health system in terms of addressing this issue.
Okay. And very quickly, isn't there, I mean, someone's going to say, where's the money going to come from to pay for these improvements in quality of healthcare service? So what's your answer to that? And bearing in mind that the focus on technology in the report as being a potential solution to many problems, well, still, you've got to pay for that technology, haven't you?
It's true that there's almost no sort of improvement in quality and safety that is not going to take more of an investment. But it is not always an investment in money. Sometimes it's an investment in time. And some of the biggest gaps we have to build are not necessarily it's going to take a lot more money, but you have to restructure the workday and you have to look at task sharing for different types of staff. You have to look at interdisciplinary teams in order to address some of these issues. But frankly speaking, given what I was just telling you about the literally billions of dollars that the report highlights we are wasting, 40% of overall healthcare expenditure, by some estimates, that we are wasting with poor quality and unsafe care, there is no way that the world's governments cannot afford to address this.